Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, so we're obviously very excited. For those of you who follow my beautiful wife on Instagram, you realize that we just made a huge announcement last Friday in celebration of our new book.
Yay! The Good Fight. So excited. It's available for pre-order now. It comes out in September. We're still doing some minor edits to it right now, but we really wanted to release it now, and especially on our five-year wedding anniversary, because, you know, when an anniversary comes around, I just feel like this was, it's just like the perfect time. It was like the perfect time to post about it.
Yeah, it was. And the fact that, you know, we were able to share it on our anniversary when this book is about the last 5 years, mm-hmm. as recent as this past January.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is recent.
Or even more recent, because we talked about quarantine too.
You're right.
Like a little fight in court.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, it's been, the last few edits have been very recent. So it's been literally almost the last 5 years to date, you know, of our relationship, of our life.
Our past growing up, relationships that we had in the beginning, mm-hmm. why we are the way that we are, mm-hmm. who we were when we started dating each other and not knowing some of the skeletons in our closet. And,
oh, yeah.
It's exciting because for me, this is the book that I needed four years ago. And the fact that we wrote a book that hopefully can show people that if you're willing to work together, you can not only be a better person, but also a better partner. And I think too, like, it's not just a relationship book. So if you're single, if you're divorced, if you're like whatever you are, if you're a guy, if you're a girl, I mean, this book is written from both of our perspectives. So you get the guy perspective, you get the girl perspective. And it's really just about things that we've learned along the way to be a better person too. So it's like how to talk to a friend or.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's about all kinds of relationships that you have in your life. And that's what, you know, one of our things is that we want people to know when we promote and talk about this book is you don't have to be in a relationship. You don't have to be dating or anything like that. Like Jana was saying, you can be single. You can be, it doesn't matter what gender, race, creed, color, like marital status, relationship status. It doesn't matter. Even if it's complicated on Facebook, whatever it is, like there's something in this book that you can relate to and probably learn to take into your next relationship, whether it's with a loving relationship, a parent, a friend, anybody.
Yeah, I also love how each chapter starts with a fight. Not a fight, but it's some, not all of them start with a fight, but it's then we go into like how we could have communicated better or how we could have done it differently or,
yeah.
And then really introspectively looking at it.
No, it's cool though, because it kind of gets you excited about each chapter where it's not just we just start off telling you all the answers or. Because we don't have them. It's, you know, we take you through these arguments and these fights. You know, that Jana and I had a lot of fun really kind of reminiscing on and bringing back up on how we remembered that fight and that argument. And, you know, we go through how we resolved it then, how we would now. And, you know, we laugh at ourselves that how we handled it in the past.
I also love how in the book we say a lot. We are not experts. Clearly, anyone that listens to this podcast can know that we are not experts at anything, but we've done a lot of therapy and we've learned so many tools that we just want to be able to say, hey, this is what has helped. And this is also tools that we need to keep working on, you know, we need to keep working on as individuals and also as, you know, each other's lovers. But I just, you know, even like when we've been reading it in the edits, it's like, wow, we need to do better at this.
Yeah. I mean, we call ourselves out, you know, when, like Jana was just saying, when we go back and read those edits or even throughout the book, we call ourselves out and you guys are going to read things that we haven't shared before. I mean, you guys think we're vulnerable on this podcast. Like we share things that y'all haven't heard that we haven't talked about, mm-hmm. Up into this book. And it was really important for us that this book comes directly from our mouths. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't get a ghostwriter. We didn't get anyone to help us. It came from Jan and I. It took a lot of work. Almost we signed.
And our amazing editor, Sydney, who helped us.
No question. Put our words, to make them professional and make them go together.
Because I write in exclamation points. So like when I was writing my section.
Oh my God.
Like I would write like, okay, so ... And then Mike's like, okay. Every time he'd read my section, he'd be like, I love you. And I'm like, why are you laughing at me? He's like, because you literally write how you talk.
Yeah.
And we kept it.
We did, you know? Because
but a ghostwriter would have taken my voice and then like,
it would have been so cold, and nothing against ghostwriters or anything like that, it just, it's so important that people are able to, you know, read this for this kind of book, that read this like we are talking to them. And we literally are. So when you see Jana's portion, it's like, okay, so this is what happened. And it's amazing. But we're so proud of this. I mean, we've worked really, really hard. This has been our baby for the last almost year to date when we signed with HarperCollins. And we just really, really hope y'all are willing to buy it and spend the time reading it. We promise you, you won't be let down.
Oh, we're so excited. And maybe we can share a few tidbits along the way and teases, because there's some good teases in there.
Maybe, but, you know what we should do is reenact some of the dialogue of the argument. That would be really fun to do now.
Yeah, we should definitely tease some of it just until official on sale. But for right now, you can pre-order it. You can go to JanaandMike.com and pre-order the book, The Good Fight. And we're so excited. Let's take a break and then let's recap our 5-year wedding anniversary.
Let's do it.
All right. So, well, first of all, we have a great guest on today, Busy Phillips.
Fantastic guest.
So excited to talk to her. She's awesome. Love how she's just everything she stands for. I'm just really pumped to talk to her. But did you have fun on our 5-year?
I did, honey. You know, and it's funny, the morning didn't start out great, right? You know, because we had some emotions around things in the past, obviously, and we got through them, but which is understandable in our situation.
As Mark would say, what emotions?
Yeah, Mark. Yeah. Sorry, Mark, you're not here to keep digging. And also, you were bummed because you kind of planned this anniversary because we kind of trade off. And granted, this was supposed to be a together one that we're going to go to Italy for, but those plans got kind of axed. But the morning, you know, you wanted to go do kayaking and everything like that. You had this all, you know, this outdoor day planned, but it was raining all day. Mm-hmm. But how good was it just making the most of it and just spending time together? And that's all it's about.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, emotions of 5 years, it's sometimes hard to look back on, right?
Yeah.
And go like, wow, like there's a we managed to get a lot in the first 5 years.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like in a way it's a really cool, and that's why I love like that we announced the book too on the 5-year anniversary, because it's such a silver lining, you know? Yeah. Like we've been through stuff, but like we've really worked our butts off to get to where we're at today.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, I told this to you on our anniversary, but the first 5 years have not been what I promised you, have not been what we wanted, because of me, ultimately. And I just want you to know that I appreciate your strength in everything the past 5 years. And I'm going to do and will be doing everything in my power every single day to make sure that the next 5 years are so great that the first 5 are just a blur to you, a distant memory. So I love you so much, and I appreciate you for sticking this out with me.
Well, again, thank you. It's very, really, I'm like, I got a little teary-eyed. Thank you. You know, it's both of us, though, at the end of the day, you know? You fought just as hard as I did, because there was days where I'm, you know, there's so many days where I was just battling you and just being angry, and I just, you know, you stuck it out, too. And every day is, you know, we're doing this together. And I think we're going to have our good and bad days. And again, just like the book, where it's just end of the day, though, like
it takes two, like we say in the book.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was great. And I hope you enjoyed the dinner I made you.
I did. It was amazing. It's all about effort.
It is.
You know, it's all about effort.
It really is. But I'm excited for the next 5. And honestly, I wouldn't change the last 5 either, because we have 2 beautiful children out of it. And we've learned a lot. And I'm glad that hopefully all that stuff is out of the way, so that the Absolutely. Next 5 we can be like, oh, that was a, you know,
now next 5's a breeze. Yeah.
Speaking of, we got chickens.
We did get chickens.
I don't know what speaking of meant, but we did get chickens because we want to lay some eggs.
Yeah. And before that, well, we got the chickens because originally Jana wanted a house mouse because we started seeing some mice around our house and like in the grill and, you know, in the backyard. And Gina was like, can we get a house mouse? Like, can we domesticate one?
I didn't understand why we couldn't, though, because people have hamsters. But then we started to do some research, and people say that Mices are really, like, dirty, and they carry diseases.
Yeah, they're the worst. We'll have Tori look it up later.
But they're so cute.
Yeah, the one I told you I saw in the backyard literally looked like Mickey Mouse. Like, these cute little eyes, giant ears, little head. It was adorable.
Like, I imagine Cinderella. Like, I want the house mouse that, like, I want a Gus.
Jace is our Gus.
He is.
But
I just thought, like, maybe we could, like, potty train it. Because they're just so cute. Like, I wanted to sleep on our little bed, have a little bed for it. And
because we couldn't do that, we decided to get chickens instead.
But now we have to
get rid of them.
We'll not get rid of them. We have
to take them to our friend's farm.
Yeah. So the HOA, we
lame.
I talked to the builder. Oh, I don't even want to get it on that conversation with the mold and everything in the house. But anyways, we talked to the builder, and he's like, "We'll just hide the chicken coop." And I'm like, "We bought a really cute chicken coop, but long story short, we have some really good friends that live about a half a mile down the road. They have a beautiful farm with lots of other chickens, so we're gonna keep the chickens here until we can, and then we're going to
take them there.
But and every day, Jolie's gonna go and take care of them, and she's been doing such a good job. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, oh, she loves her Majesty. We named him Majesty. Is hers. Car is Jace's.
Of course.
And then Shadow's mine.
And then I have Hazel.
They're so sweet.
They are sweet. They're a lot of fun, though. And we wish we could keep them here.
Eventually, we're going to build on land. And then we're going to take our chickens back.
Take them back.
But until then, we're going to store them at our friends. And then we're going to collect the eggs.
Absolutely. Because that's why we got them.
Because we eat so many eggs. Anyways, I really want a house mouse. So I'm going to work on that. But...
let's take a break and maybe get busy.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi.
Hey, Busy. Good? Hey, it's Jana and Mike from the Wind Down Crew. How are you?
What's up?
I'm good. How are you guys? How's homeschool?
You know what? We stopped because she's...
You're dead!
We stopped.
We threw in the towel.
Yeah, it was our daughter's four. Our daughter's four, and then our son's 18 months old. So, like, we were trying to do what they were teaching us in preschool. We're like, okay, you know, A, B, C, D, like, all, like, the alphabet stuff. But then she was just getting... She just kept saying the wrong letters, and I'm like, but you just said it right 2 seconds ago. Like, so I was losing my mind. I was like, you know what? You're four. You're fine. You're going to be fine. Like,
yeah, it's fine. Everyone's going to be fine. That's the realization I also came to. I was like, I'm pretty sure everything's going to be fine. I do feel for people who have like very young kids like you guys. Like that is a lot.
It is, but it's also like it doesn't really change that much though. Do you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like my son has no idea what's going on.
Of course.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, Busy, because your kids are what, 11 and like 6?
That's right.
Oh, awesome. So with those ages and them being older, especially the 11-year-old, Jana was saying, I feel like we've talked about it amongst ourselves. We feel like that's actually even more pressure having someone who is conscious of what's going on, who's a little bit more active. And
Yeah. But I have to say, like, my 11-year-old has been, look, this is a very interesting time to even be having kids this last decade. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And my daughter has been aware of so many things for so long. Like, I mean, this is like so dark, but I mean, honestly, like Newton, the school shooting happened when she was old enough to know what it was. So like, she's like been aware of the intensity and what like the, and how scary the world is her entire school age life. And so she has a real understanding of this in a way that she also just is like, yeah, the world is kind of terrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, not in a, just in a very like, yeah, things are bad. Cricket, the little one.
Birdie and Cricket. It's so cute. I love it.
She's definitely been the one where like, this is the first time something has happened where she's been examining the world and seeing it in a different way and trying to wrap her head around what it means. And so, you know, we have had more conversations with her. She asked me like 1 or 2 weeks in, we were sitting in the kitchen before I started her homeschool for the day. And she was like, Mom, I have a question. I was like, of course, babe, what's up? And she's like, are things bad? And I was like, are things bad? What do you mean? And she's like, with the virus, I feel like things are bad. Are things bad? Like in the world? And I was like, yes. Okay. So right. Here's where we have to talk. We're very lucky. We're very privileged. You know, we're, and she's like, right. Because you're an actress.
And an author and host and everything else. Yeah.
I'm like, not exactly. I'm like, we're healthy. Right. You know, we have jobs right now. Your dad and they're able to provide for you guys. And so like, you know, for all of those reasons, we're, you know, very lucky and privileged right now. But yeah, like for a lot of people, this is a really tough time. And, you know, we need to just be really aware and figure out ways to give back. And so this time we've really spent a lot of just, you know, our time talking about how we give back and in what ways. And mm-hmm. the girls, we went through their books and we donated to a local charity that was distributing books to LAUSD kids and kids in underserved communities here. You know, I think it was interesting for my daughters to conceptualize that a lot of kids don't have books in their home.
Right.
And when they're taken out of school and they're taken and the libraries are all closed, they don't have anything to read for fun, you know? So those girls like donated boxes and boxes of books. And, you know, I'm so excited to partner with Walgreens to get the word out about Red Nose Day, which also raises so much money for kids in need.
Yeah. And Jolie had fun last year too. She got to pick out the noses. Like we went to Walgreens and, you know, she got to see which one it was. So like she had a lot of fun doing it too, which is like, because remember we did that last year with her. Yeah. And it was just like, it was so nice to be able to be like, and then we're also giving back, you know, like she's having fun, but also giving back.
And I think that people, especially now, kind of, they do look for, you know, almost like a two for one. Like it's, and for me with Red Nose Day, the last several years, I've used it with my girls as well, because it is a fun way for them to be participatory in giving back. And you can like kind of start those conversations with them, because I do think that there's something, especially in this time, that's empowering us for everyone, but especially for kids to know that like, even though things can feel scary, that they're aware, they know that like things are bad, there are ways that we can help make things a little bit better for other people. Mm-hmm. Because hopefully the idea would be that if we were ever in that situation, somebody would do the same for us.
For sure.
And so like, that's the part where Cricket, like the little light bulb finally turned on for her. She's six now in first grade. And like, you know, for Birdie, it's been a part of her. She did a backpack drive in first grade for baby to baby. Like she's been very aware. This year, she did a huge thing collecting like unopened brand new makeup and hair products and beauty products for the LGBTQ center here in LA for the trans youth, the homeless trans kids. And she collected so much stuff from influencers, actresses, and hair and makeup artists.
I mean, that's amazing. But also Birdie's got your back too, though, because that letter that she wrote to E, like, was probably, and I just have to say, like, I remember seeing that and being like, oh my gosh, like how strong her daughter is. And also like what you've instilled in her. I just want to say, like, even when I saw that, I gave you so much, so many kudos for that, because there's so many times when I wish I could have said that, but I held back because I'm like, you blindsided me, and you told me I got the part. And it's like, you play your little pretty part and you go back in your little box and then you put the bow on it and, you know, you do for the, but it's like, I just was like, I had so much respect for you when that happened and how you responded. And then what Birdie did on top of it with the letter, I was just like, they're just powerful girls, but in a classy way. And I really respected that.
Yeah.
So.
Look, even if sometimes you're not classy about it, like I think,
but it that, was though in a classy way. It was.
I think that part of what I hope to instill in my daughter and what I think that I've come to realize even in this industry, but as women, I think that for too long, too many of us were sort of fed this idea that if you're just like quiet and you stay in your lane, that then you can like continue to exist. And the truth is, that's not the truth. I mean, that's what a lot of people would like for women and girls to do, but you can make noise and you can be heard, and you cannot be penalized for it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, especially now, I think with everyone having access to all the information and social media and being able to share things, you know, there's a lot of support out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's really empowering to know that there are places that previously, like, you know, in the entertainment industry, I don't know if I would have felt as comfortable being vocal 10 years ago, but I just know because of, you know, my fan base and my immediacy of being able to get feedback from, so, you know, social media and the people that follow me and support me and the brands that I've worked with and the relationships that I have with even that side, because that commercial side is like so important in terms of driving the business, you know, especially television. And I was like, well, there's no point for me to be quiet about what I view as kind of an injustice and something that, you know, was really unexpected for me. And it was, I mean, it wasn't like there was no fallout from it other than, you know, they all got fired. I mean,
Busy, is that something?
By the way, they all got fired, but I mean, I didn't have anything to do with
right.
Busy, is that something?
It did happen after they canceled my show, but, you know.
Is that something, you know, again, because our kids are younger, 4 and under. With your 11-year-old, with Birdie, is that something that you're like making a point to verbally say to her and teach her, or is that something like to speak your mind and kind of be true to yourself, or is that something she's experiencing more by watching you, or is it a mix of both?
Yeah, so it's such a great question, because I really feel like the actions speak so much louder than the words. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I see this, you know, I have girls, and I have a lot of friends who have girls, obviously, because I'm my daughter's friends and whatever. I'm around a lot of mothers and daughters. So let me just say that. Mm-hmm. I see this most frequently put into play about body image. And because it's just the most specific thing I can point to, right? Like, and like the most obvious one, where moms will be telling their daughters, like, you're beautiful. I mean, you're gorgeous. You're beautiful. And then you're at the birthday pool party and the mom is like, oh, I don't wear bikinis. Are you kidding me? My body is gross. So it's right. Like, okay, so these little girls are looking at the woman that they think is the most beautiful person in the world. And she's saying she won't even get out of her cover up because her body's gross. Well, my body must be gross too. Mm-hmm. If that body is gross, then my, you know, so that's like where that clicked for me very, very early on, like when Birdie was a baby, and I started to notice that with the moms. And it became, because I'm like any woman of my generation, I have my own issues with, you know, body image ideas that have been perpetrated on me from, you know, culturally and pop culture and, you know, the patriarchy, whatever. But I just became very aware that I had to, even if I didn't feel it, I had to start to live as though I loved this body. This body is amazing. I'm wearing a bikini. Like, I'm in the pool. It's not a thing I even talk about. Like, I don't talk about it. It's like, it is, you know, my husband doesn't talk about his body. You know what I mean? So I have these girls that like, I feel like they don't really put too much value on their their bodies as objects or whatever. But I do see, especially starting now with, you know, these preteens that have been around, there are some of these kids that are like very focused on what they're eating and like, no, I can't eat cheese. Like, you know, it's too fattening. Like I've heard little girls say that, oh, like,
so sad.
You know, they're not reading that online.
Jolie would not see that because all I do is shove my face with cheese and wine. So if anything.
So she's like, I love cheese.
I know. Right. She's like, love it. Give me the pizza and the cheese. But we know we have to let you go. Where can our listeners, I know Walgreens and then with Red Nose Day.
Yeah. So this is so incredible. So, I mean, you know, everything being the way that it is right now, everyone's making adjustments. Walgreens is no exception with Red Nose Day, but we still want people to participate and to donate. And so if you go to walgreens.com/Red Nose Day, okay, you can make a donation to the charity. And then you get this filter, a digital red nose that you can use and post on social media. And honestly, my kids are having just as much fun with this filter as they had with the actual red
nose. Yeah, because the nose always would fall off anyway, so it's like
you can't breathe. Yeah.
So this might even be better.
Everyone becomes a mouth breather.
Yeah.
No, and by the way, how old's your little one? Your tiny one?
Oh, 18 months.
18 months. You can't get a nose to stay on the 18-month-old anyway. So this is like actually a better version of it for you.
Perfect.
You can get that picture.
Exactly. Yeah. Busy, thank you so much. I love you. I love everything you stand for, and you're just the friend that I always wanted. So love you.
Thanks, Busy.
Okay, guys, take care.
Right. You too.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
She was awesome. I love her. And it was super ballsy too, what she did, just to recap people that don't know, with E kind of blindsided her with canceling her show. And she had like just talked to the creator, or not the creator, but like the head of E. And she was like, yeah, everything's fine. And then they just completely blindsided her. And it's just, and I just have so much respect for that, because there's been so many times where, you know, you think you're safe and then all of a sudden they're like killing off your character. You're like, wait, what? Like, mm-hmm. Like a heads up would have been nice. And so, you know, to me, I thought it was, even though she said it was a ballsy move, I think, you know, she had a right to, in my opinion, I think it was super ballsy, but she did it, I think, in a classy way with the letter that Birdie wrote, just saying, you know, hey, that wasn't very nice to my mommy. And so I just, you know, that's something I'm like, oh, I wonder if Jolie would write a letter for me.
I think it's, you know, sometimes you need to challenge challenge Big Brother a little bit. It's like you got to call people out sometimes when stuff, especially in that kind of business, has been handled that way for so long, you know?
For sure. And I don't know. I just love her. And then she's friends with Michelle Williams too. And I just adore Michelle Williams. She just seems like she's a great friend. Like she's got your back. Hey, so before we do emails, Tori, did you find something out about my house mouse?
So... There's not really anything about a house mouse, but there is an article saying if you are thinking about getting a pet mice, here's some things to think about.
Okay.
They have a relatively short lifespans, aww, so you have to explain that to the kids, which could be a little difficult.
How many years do they live?
Oh, it's months, 5 months.
No, that's where he went. Yes. He died.
Just dogs eat him.
They spread more germs than you know. They carry hantavirus and salmonella and up to 200 human pathogens.
Oh, all right. Well, it was a good dream.
So that's, and oh, also mice aren't potty trained. So if
they
you
are
the house train them,
not.
They are not.
Oh.
I know you really want to.
They don't
the good
come pre potty trained.
They're just so cute. Okay. Well, that's disgusting. Then that's a bummer. All right. Well, we can see them from afar.
Yeah. They belong outside.
All right. All right. Well, let's read some emails.
Let's do it.
My father's addiction. From Sarah. My father had a sex addiction my whole life, but it was not disclosed to me until I was 20 years old. There was a lot of times when I was growing up where my father's addiction affected my life, but I didn't know why. I feel like if my parents would have been open and honest with us about my father's addiction, then I wouldn't have gone through so much heartache and drama as a teenager. When do you all plan on disclosing to your children about Mike's sex addiction?
You know, Jana and I have talked about that a little bit. Granted, fortunately, we're still some years away from having to worry about it. But it'll definitely be before, you know, the kids are 20 years old, especially nowadays with the internet and kids being able to navigate that so much sooner than we even give them credit for. You know, who knows how old Jolie will be before she Googles. She realized that she can Google mom and dad.
She can also Google her name. Found that out the other night. I was just like laying in bed and I was saw an article about like from Mother's Day, and it had my name in it and also had her name. And so I was just like, oh, that's weird. Like her name's highlighted because usually it's not. And I click on it and it's like Jolie Ray Cawson, age 4 years old. Like she has like her own like little Wikipedia page. And I was just like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't like this. And then obviously had like links to like our stuff. So, I mean, it's, but then like some of it's cute because she's, you know, when she was on the carpet with me and
right.
for the runway thing. So some of those things are cute because it's good memories. But then also it's like, oh, crap. Like she could easily click on this link to go there. So, I mean, I would like to her to find out before a friend tells her.
Yeah, I think the age I'm thinking is maybe 10-ish to 12.
Yeah, I was thinking like 12.
My only reason, I would like to, I mean, prolong even later, not 20, but even later.
I don't want to make it a huge sit down though. Do you know what I mean? Like, no. Who knows where we'll be in 12 years too? Or right. Whatever, many years. Like we could be, because it could be like
more accepted.
No, I'm not saying yes, but like also like, you know, what happens if we're not together? And it's like, well, obviously she knew mommy and daddy had issues. You know, if like we're divorced, so it just becomes one of those things like where it's not this big thing, you know. But if we still stay together, it's still that not this big thing. Like we've been married and like we're great, you know. So it's just, this is just something that daddy went through and. You know, and yeah. then it can be like, and this is how great we've been able to handle it, or now we're divorced, and this is why Daddy and I may be separated.
Right. I think know. It's just as soon as they're at the age of really being able to read and comprehend things, and their friends are doing the same. So around that 6th, 7th grade age range, when you know that's what kids are doing and gossiping this and that. I think it's just like you said, we don't have to make it taboo or this big thing around it. But like, hey, you know, baby, as you get older, you might read things about mommy and daddy, and especially daddy, and, you know, daddy's had a sickness that he's dealt with his whole life, and I do things to prevent from going down that path. I mean, I don't know what words I'm going to find to say in that moment, but it's definitely going to be sooner rather than later, like 20.
From Brooke, my husband has changed. I am 28 and have been married to my husband for 4 years, and we have 3 beautiful children. I love my husband, I really do, but since he started his new job, he has changed so much. He works with all single guys that sit at home every night and play video games and drink. My husband has developed a serious drinking problem, and I take care of everything, the kids, school drop-off, the cleaning, bills, etc. I finally got to the point where I had to get a separate bank account just for my paycheck to go solely towards bills because he was blowing all of our money. We talked and I told him I would pay all the bills except for his car payment and the electric, but I was woken up at 3 a.m. last week to a tow truck repossessing his car. Once we finally got that all straightened out and picked his car up, we got home and had a notice that our electric was going to be shut off. I don't know what to do. Please help.
Dang.
Do you want
to
go?
I mean, it seems like Brooke's doing what she can and trying to talk to him about it. I mean, you know, one of these situations, it's almost like, you know, men in general, people in general, but men especially can be so prideful at times where hearing something that they're doing wrong, it's hard to face that when hearing it from the people closest to you. Sometimes you need a third party that's removed from the situation to kind of keep, you know, get real with you. So, I mean... I mean, again, we're big advocates for therapy, so any kind of couples therapy around this, or I don't know, maybe a list of consequences.
I think it's hard too because the guy is hanging out with a bunch of single people, and I think it's easier for guys to kind of morph into that world if that's who they're hanging out with, you know, like they'll start to, like, for example, one of our neighbors is hanging out with like a bunch of younger dudes and the wife is like, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you riding skateboards? Like, this isn't who you are, but it's because that's the people that he's like hanging around. Mm. So they start to become something that they're maybe not. And maybe because, I mean, y'all did get married quite young, you know, you got married at 24. So maybe he feels like he hasn't lived his, you know, like what these other guys are living right now. Doesn't make any of it an excuse for sure. But I would just, you know, have a sit down and say, like, we try to do therapy would be the first step, because, you know, you do love him and, you know, you want it to work for your kids and for you guys. But I think just over communicating and sitting down with someone that can professionally be like, okay, you know, some things have to change in order for you to feel safe. And, you know, if you're doing everything, like, you need that extra support and you need that person, that you need your husband to help. And that's not crazy for you to ask. That's not crazy for you to think. That's not crazy for you to need. So just.
And I think she took a great step with separating the bank accounts, and that way she can manage that. And, you know, the fact that he had to deal with the consequence of his car being repoed. And
see, here's my debate to that, though, because, you know, in our relationship, you've always said it's our money. It's our, like, we shouldn't have separate accounts. So I guess, like, where do you then draw the line with this? Because she's essentially saying your car, you have to pay for the electric, you have to pay.
She's just doing it because, you know, it's been a problem with the money and stuff, where she's just kind of protecting, you know, her ability to keep things on for the kids, the bills and all of that, because he was spending so much money on drinking and whatever else he was doing that she's not trying to, she didn't want to separate it. She had to out of a consequence, because he was blowing that kind of money that could significantly damage, you know, what they're trying to build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So
go to therapy would be the biggest advice that I would probably say. But all right, guys, good show. Busy was great. And I'm excited to wind down with you guys next week.
See you next week.